Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland and special guest David Barton today for a study on speaking the truth and having integrity before God. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we're going to have a good time today. You're going to be glad you came. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you always cause us to triumph, and we bless you for it. And we thank you that your way is blessed, your way is prosperous, your way is healthy, praise God. David, we done got us a bailout, brother.
That's right.
I got bailed out of this mess
That's
when
right
I made
kind.
Jesus the Lord of my life.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
Thank you for being here,
David. Oh, my pleasure, bro.
Let's go over here to the third chapter of Daniel. There's something here. We're coming up into the most vital, the most important election season since George Washington was elected president. I mean, this is big time.
Yeah.
And there's more to it than political reasons, and that's what we want to see right now. In the third chapter of Daniel, this is when the government set up this 90 feet tall statue of something. And the huge thing, and they brought all the musicians, and every time this thing played, you were supposed to bow down and worship. So, and these three boys wouldn't do it.
Right.
Now, remember we talked about whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually
That's right.
lose. If you bow, you burn.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bow, you can't burn.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody said, well, yes, you can. Like Brother Oral told me, he said, they told him, said, well, you just need to sit down and just relax now and just take your medicine and finish out the rest of your days. You don't need to be taking any risk. He said, what?
Man, he didn't tell
him. I don't care if he was 90
Wrong
years
thing,
old, you
right.
don't tell him that. He said, not take a risk? He said, well, why not? What if I do die? He said, the other side of that is stunning.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And the point here is with these guys that I want to bring out, when he threatened these three Hebrew boys, these are young men. Now, you notice Daniel wasn't there in this. These were young men. They were just almost children
That's
when
right.
they were kidnapped.
Yeah.
They'd never known what it was like to be a Jew that's taught. And the only teaching they had was from Daniel.
Yeah.
But it had been so strong, they refused to compromise God. And here's the thing that made the king so mad. They said, the king said, if you guys will just tell me you'll bow down, everything will be all right. I ain't going to do nothing to you. And they said to the king, the king said, who is this God to deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is the third chapter of Daniel, the 16th verse. We're not careful to answer you in this. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you're king. You don't impress me.
We're not mincing words here.
No.
Yeah.
And these are just young guys.
Yeah.
But listen to what they said. Now the King James says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Now, you need to go back and take a look at that because it appears to say, well, if it's his will to deliver us, but that ain't what they said at all. They said, it is not necessary for us to answer you on this, but if you just have to know, here's the answer.
Yeah.
If our God can deliver us, he will. Now, they weren't real sure whether he could or not, but they were so bedrock committed to God because of Daniel and his teaching them. They hadn't seen anything. They didn't know what Daniel knew except what he taught them out of the Word, but they had covenant with God.
Yeah.
And they said, If he's able to deliver us, he will. If he's not able, that's fine too.
Yeah.
So the only reason God wouldn't deliver us is because he can't. Yeah. I mean, they were bedrock. That made that king so mad. Not what they said, it's the fact that they said, we don't care what you think.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what got
that's right.
him. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Now, here's my point, David, and this is where I want to get into this. He got so mad. In verse 20, he commanded the most mighty men in his army. These are the best men he had. He had the furnaces heated so hot, they went beyond their safety zone.
Yeah. Well, it says seven times after these guys responded, he said, all right, heat it seven times more.
And it was.
I'm going to show you.
And they were on a red line, brother.
That's right.
And they went past
seven times
the
up.
Never exceed heat.
That's
so
right.
The safety area down there around that furnace, how hot does it have to be to kill anybody? I mean, you can kill somebody with a campfire if you want to throw him in it.
Yeah.
But he is so mad. He is pushing so hard. He is so violent. He's making extremely stupid decisions.
Yeah.
That the fire belched out of that furnace out into the safety zone and killed the best men he had.
That's right.
Now, how come he to do it? It's right here in the 22nd verse, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, it slew the best men he had. If he'd been thinking right, he wouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm totally convinced from the Word, from what God has ministered to me, and you can learn some things if you just stay around long enough.
Yeah.
And I'm 73 years old. I've seen a lot of
got some experience.
Ignorance coming and going.
Yeah,
I've done some of it myself. And when you get to the point when you think, we can't take our time in this anymore. If we don't get this done now, we'll never get it done.
Yeah.
That proves you know what you're doing won't work.
Yeah.
You just don't realize. And your own pride and your own arrogance,
that's right.
You will push yourself out in the open. When the devil gets out in the open, he can't stand the light. He's about to be defeated.
Yeah.
I see this right now in the function. I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about people that think they're right and they're deceived and they're pushing and they're destroying themselves.
They are. They think they're achieving their agenda. And, you know, King was convinced these guys are going to burn right from in there.
But then he got mad right in the middle of it.
And what happens is his agenda backfires on him. You know, Pharaoh is convinced, I'm going to show Moses who's Pharaoh here. And Pharaoh's at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Think where he made the dumbest decision he ever made. He chased them out into the middle
of a miracle. Now, why would you
obviously,
with walls of water on your side, you know, it's
well, now, David, let me ask you this. Are we seeing here in the Word, did we see with Pharaoh, are we seeing here with Nebuchadnezzar, the clash of these two systems?
Yeah, we are.
The Babylonian system and the Eden blessing of God, form of government.
Yep.
Clashing with one another over and over and over. When it comes to the point where if this Babylonian thing makes God's word a lie, brother, it's all over.
Yeah.
And that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
And God steps in and says, nope, this is the end of it, brother.
Yeah.
And when he does, you've hit that cap.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what the king had done. He kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and he finally got these guys with their back against the wall that says, we're having to choose between you and God, and that's not a choice you should have given us. Because now that we got to do that, you know, God gets involved in this thing. If he had stopped before that, these guys would have been in Babylon. They still would have been under him. They still would. But he pushed them to a point where they had to make a choice between God's system and his system.
And he lost.
And he lost. And that's what Pharaoh did with Moses. You know, if he just left them alone and leave them be slaves there, they would have stayed in slavery forever. They were content being slaves. They actually wanted to go back into slavery after he got them out. But Pharaoh kept pushing. And now it's between him and God. He's put himself up against God. And that's the problem with that God, the anti-God system. It keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. And finally, it's to a point where you got a direct confrontation. And that's what's been happening in the 20th century. You know, that word that God gave you 110 years. This stuff has been growing, but it hadn't gotten to the place where it is now. The push is on. And they're trying to get this thing over the top, and they've come right up against they're forcing us to do stuff we've never had to make decisions on before. I mean, we're now seeing our guys go to jail for what they say about the Bible, about faith, about marriage, about anything else. We've never been there. And if you're going to put our back up against the wall like that, and we got to choose between a secular system and a God system, we think we'll take God on this. And that's what's going to destroy a secular system, is when you force people to make that choice. And that push, and it was really, I mean, the word was the king, urgent, you know, it was, I got to do this. And they get driven. And I'm watching that across the world right now, and it's irrational. What Pharaoh did was irrational. I mean, his advisors said, quit this, you're killing us. You know, these plagues are doing us in. And he just hardened his heart and kept going. And the same with Nebuchadnezzar. And I have watched, as a political person, having been involved in politics, I want to go back to something John Adams said way back 250 years ago. He's just getting involved in politics, and he's got this decision of, do I want to be a politician or a statesman? And in his diary in 1768, he wrote out the difference between the two. He said, a politician is someone who will compromise principles in order to stay in power. They'll compromise with the people, they'll compromise with the committee, with the party, they'll compromise, because the most important thing to them is to stay in power.
Himself.
That's right.
He said, wants control, and
he wants control,
turn loose.
And he'll compromise whatever it takes to keep control. And we all know political people who do that. They have no backbone, their backbone's jello, but they do anything it takes, they use any maneuver to stay reelected, to stay in control. And John Adams said, on the other side is a statesman. He said, now a statesman will not compromise principles, even if it cost him the next election. And John Adams, in his diary, wrote the question, what makes the difference between a politician and a statesman? Well, why is it that one will compromise principles and the other will stand firm like the three Hebrew children, no matter what it costs, they're not going to back down? And he answered it this way. He said, a statesman has a fear of God, that he will stand before God Almighty and answer for everything that he's done while in office. Therefore, he'd rather lose the election than tick God off.
Yeah.
Now, a politician has no fear of God. The end justifies the means. It's about me. It's not about God. I'm not worried about standing before God and accounting. So I'm going to do any. And that's, Nebuchadnezzar had no fear of God. Pharaoh had no fear of God. Now, Moses did, and the three Hebrew children did, and that's why they did what they did. But we're at a point where we've really been working on the politician side. Now we're starting to see some statesmen stand up, because we're getting pushed up against our God-believing principles, and we're having to make some choices.
You remember when Governor Huckabee came on the broadcast several years ago?
Yeah.
While he was governor, and he wrote the book that really... That when I read that book is when I really got an insight into him.
Yeah.
And he was talking about compromise. And he made this statement later on. I had the God-given privilege to discuss it with him when and we weren't talking politics. We talked the Bible and the Word of God. This man's an ordained minister of the gospel.
Yeah,
he wasn't on here for political reasons.
Right.
And he was talking, he said, when a person is in office and the news media or anybody else for that matter asks him the question and says, Governor, what is your next step? Boy, what a question.
Yeah.
What is your next step? He said, if you allow yourself to think about what is my next step, I just stopped being governor.
Yeah.
And started being a politician,
that's
because
right.
I'm not thinking about what's good for the people of in this case, state of Arkansas.
That's right.
He said, I'm thinking about what's good for me. I've got to answer this thing now, and I got to think about how am I going to affect my election 2-4 years from now, whatever it is, to that next step. And he said, I don't care what my next step is. He said, my next step is whatever I pray and God says next step is. And then here's what he said that got my attention. Now, I don't care if it's a politician or a preacher or whoever it is. This is really what it's all about. He said, I don't care if I run a bait shop at Lake Greeson. He said, I'll be just happy as I can be if I'm where God has called me to be.
That's exactly
because if I serve God, I'm going to serve the people.
Yep.
He said, I'm going to either serve you as governor, I'm going to serve you in the bait shop, or anywhere else he
puts me. That puts it about the people and serving rather than about
Than yourself.
And see, this is where it is so fascinating to me where the politicians become irrational, because even self-serving politicians that serve themselves, they like staying in power. And I'm watching what's happening in Canada and the United States and Europe, and these politicians are now becoming like Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar, and it's irrational. I watched in the Congress of the United States this year, the first 12 measures I counted that went through Congress all had 60% opposition to the measures. The people said, we don't like this stuff. Now, if you're a politician and you're involved in just self-preservation, you're going to say, whoa, I can't tick the people off 12 times in a row with 60% opposing what I'm doing. But they're doing it. And they keep cramming and keep pushing and keep forcing. And
dude, I don't think they can stop.
See, that's it. They're at a point where that now they have pushed so far that the pushback will end up destroying them. And they don't have a clue that this is about to happen. I watched in Canada as they threw Reverend Tristan Emmanuel and all these other preachers in jail for simply reading a verse out of Romans 1. And Canadians are pretty easygoing people. And suddenly you're throwing preachers in jail for reading a Bible verse. And then these human rights commissions start popping up. And they're trying to prosecute Americans for having written stuff in newspapers here against homosexuals, trying to prosecute them in Canada. The Canadians said, no. And so they've had a big change of government over there as well. But, I mean, these guys are pushing in irrational ways. Even if they were just selfish, self-seeking guys, they wouldn't be doing this stuff. I mean, this is the ultimate conflict of what we have here. Pharaoh pushing against God's system and Nebuchadnezzar against God's system. And I think that's where this 110 years is.
You think that here then that what is happening, well, as the Lord says, this is the death of that system.
Yeah, it is.
You think that God has put a move on them? The tares have grown up now to where they don't look like the wheat anymore?
Yep. And we're going to distinguish between the good stuff and the bad stuff, and we're going to do a little harvesting here. And that's what Matthew 13 said is, you let the wheat grow up at the tares, and at the harvest, we're going to sort this out. We'll get the good stuff away from the bad stuff. And I think it's coming harvest time. We've had these tares growing for 110 years in that same period of time the Lord told you. And now we're coming to harvest time, and we're going to weed out the bad stuff from the good stuff. And this stuff that's been growing in the nation for 110 years, we're about to get rid of. We're about to see some changes, I think, in our educational system, in our legal system, in our political system, in our pulpits. We're going to see some major changes coming. They pushed too far, and now they've got themselves up to
God has an awakening. The United States and the American Revolution was born out of a great awakening.
That's right.
And I believe that's what's happening now. And people are going to wake to it that yesterday didn't know it existed.
See, I believe I can statistically prove that right now America is in a great awakening.
I believe
and
that.
We have been for 6 to 8 years.
I believe
that's why we're starting to see some of this. I think we are in a national revival. Now, the trick with the national revival is historically they last from 30 to 40 years. And you never knew you were in the revival till you were out of it. The Great Awakening was from 1730 to 1770, and then you get the revolution on the heel of that. But it took that 40 years of spiritual change to bring about the surface stuff that we saw in the revolution. And that's always the result of revival is a massive change at the end that goes in a very positive direction. And that's where we are.
David, here's the scripture that the Lord pointed to me to stand on in this election year as it comes. I'm making decisions. Man, I vote.
Yeah.
And I don't care where I think somebody can win or not win and all that. That's none of my business. Yeah. I go to God and I want His choice. But then there's something here about the revealing power of the Holy Spirit as someone speaks. Am I listening to what that person is saying, or am I listening to what he's really saying?
Yeah.
And that scripture is in Malachi 3. And he said, your words have been stout against me and all this stuff you've been saying. You call the proud blessed and you call mm-hmm. them that work wickedness. God's blessing them. Mm-hmm. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it.
Yeah.
And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and they that called upon his name.
Yeah.
And you know, that's all we do.
Yeah.
You and I get together. We don't have anything to talk about except God and his word and his word. But then he said, and they'll be mine in the day when I make up my treasure, and I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then, verse 18, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the discern between them.
Yeah.
The righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. And then I heard the Lord say, you can tell the tree by its fruit, but it's too late after he's in office.
Yeah.
And you don't see the fruit during the campaign.
You don't.
You're going to have to listen to God and make choices, believing God, and you're listening. Am I listening to a tear, or am I listening to somebody that has God and my interest in heart? Mm-hmm. And we're out of time again.
Goes quick.
It does, man. Brother David and I will be back in just a moment.
The Protestant reformer John Calvin understood the Bible, man's nature, and the nature of government. His perspective was that you cannot grant power to one authority because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So there must be checking of power with power, making man accountable to man and God. The principle of personal accountability to God lies at the core of the motivation for the creation of constitutional checks and balances. The U.S. Constitution calls for the federal government to be divided among three separate branches: the legislative, the executive, and the judiciary branch. Each branch is independent with a separate function and cannot overpower the functions of another branch. A commonly held belief at the time the Constitution was drafted was that it is possible for man to be morally self-restrained because he would even be accountable to his Maker for his behavior. That accountability motivated them to establish a means to ensure the God-given liberties that the country was established to protect. The fruit of their labor, the constitutional separation of powers, is one of the key features that has contributed to America being the longest ongoing constitutional republic. A just estimate of that love of power and proneness to abuse it, which predominates in the human heart, is sufficient to satisfy us of the truth of this position. The necessity of reciprocal checks in the exercise of political power by dividing and distributing it into different depositories has been established. We pray for an awakening to God for all the people around the world, from government leaders to those leading families, that they be accountable for their actions and responsible for their duties. We believe for hearts turned toward God, who has promised to heal the land. From the instant he spoke light into existence, God has had a hand in the course of human events. The Roots and Reform Package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries is a study of God's hand in America's earliest hours and spiritual insight into exactly how God can heal any nation. This package is packed with inspiration and instruction. In the teaching series, How Does God Heal the Land, available on CD or DVD, Kenneth Copeland and David Barton examine the church's role in healing a nation and our responsibility to put godly people in leadership positions. The Roots and Reform package also includes Celebrate Liberty, a collection of timeless speeches and sermons on the blessings and responsibilities of liberty, Keys to Good Government, an exploration of wise counsel from God-fearing leaders, and Principles of National Reformation, a 60-minute audio message on prayer and national revival. Order the Roots and Reform package today for just $28. This package, available on CD or DVD, is a vital resource designed to help you develop an action plan based on God's Word to bring healing to our nations. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order the Roots and Reform package online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. For these and other products, go to kcm.org.
Now, you need to get these things from Brother David's ministry, Principles of National Reformation. It's powerful, man. You need this. How does God heal the land? This is in DVD and CDs. The keys to good government, according to the founding fathers, and not just the one or two, three founding fathers that everybody talks about, but all of them. And almost every one of them was either part of or head of a Christian university or a seminary. I mean, the background of these guys, they brought people in there that knew the Bible in order to make these decisions. You need to know that. Celebrate Liberty. Hey, you got to read that, man. This is so powerful. But now the reason I'm telling you these things and encouraging you to get your hands on these things, study them. You've got some time to let this lead you into the Word. So and then you get in the Word and study the Word about these things, and that begins to open your ears to these people I'm supposed to be voting for. I don't want to follow the shout of one side or the shout of the other side. Right. I ain't interested in that. I'm interested in what God has to say about it, because I'm on His side. Yeah. And thank God He's on mine. Yeah. Every day you need to be involved in studying and learning and teach your children. Praise God. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, thank you, Father. Prayer of agreement is a powerful thing. We pray for our partners in this ministry every day. You'll never be without prayer. There's a 24-hour-a-day prayer line, 7 days a week. We're here for you. Brother David and I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, don't forget, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website at kcm.org. There you can purchase today's broadasts on DVD or CD, or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today.